Alloway Parks Recreation and Forestry Committee meeting, Tuesday, September 28th, 2021. It is 5:31 p.m.
All right, we'll call the meeting to order and start with roll call. Angela Kowalczyk Adrian.
Not present.
Dina Mooney.
Here.
Daniel Piarki.
Here.
Michael Borowski.
Here.
Heather Gentry Zimmer.
Not present.
Trustee Rob Atwood.
Present.
I will accept a motion to adopt or modify the agenda from August 24th.
Move to adopt.
Second.
Any discussion? All right. I'll approve. True. How does that work? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All those opposed? Same sign. I'm not going to get this.
Move on to number three.
Moving on to number three. All right. Oh, I did that again. I flipped it last time, too.
Are you doing it right?
No, you were right.
Well, I know, but last time...
This is just the agenda. And then this is the
I know, but I thought I was doing number three instead of number two. Learn from my
mistake. You're good.
We do what you can.
All right.
Yeah.
I will accept a motion to approve the August 24th minutes.
Yep.
Okay.
So moved.
Any discussion? All right. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed, say no. Moving on to number four, public appearances.
We have none.
All right. Number five, information.
Real quick, I have a couple of items for the committee, informational items. The first one is a playground communication board that we will be installing at Optimus Park. This board right here, which was donated by the Fox Valley Autism Treatment Program. They've been doing that around the valley and various other park and rec organizations donating these boards. It's a board for... Those children that might have difficulties in speaking or autistic spectrums or things like that, that they can potentially communicate with others. And they've seen it successful in other areas of the country. So they donated that to us, and we'll be installing that yet this fall over at Optimus Park. The other item, Green Isle Park Roadway Project. If you have not been to Green Isle Park lately, the roadway project is completed. They actually got the gravel shoulders in today. I think we have some restoration landscaping left to do, and that's pretty much wrapped up. Great project, great, looks great. It was shortly after our last meeting that they got going on it, and I was pleasantly surprised that they got it done that quickly.
They really accommodated Poochies and Pints.
Yes,
as well.
Yes. Yeah, they did a nice job. Well, not only that, but other things that were going on at the park, they made sure that there was access at all times and, accommodated people. Vinton Construction that did that project, and they did a really good job.
Move on to number six, the presentation of the 2022-2026 Village of Alloway Comprehensive Outdoor Recreation Plan.
John Kneer from Rettler Corporation is here to present our Comprehensive Outdoor Rec Plan Update 2022 through 2026. We had taken comments and suggestions from the committee, as well as myself and other staff members, on the previous drafts. And you guys have gone through, updated a lot of those, and that. So with that, John, please go ahead.
Well, thank you, Chris. And if that's all right, I'll just kind of present from here. I don't need to stand up there for any reason. Again, my name is John Kinnear, president of Rettler Corporation. We were involved with the last iteration of the Corp as well. So we're starting off on solid ground and understanding of your community, of the parks themselves, and really had a solid leg to stand on starting off with the Corp document update. So this is the draft document. Thank you to those of you who have provided comments and read through the document. And if you've read through it and don't have comments, that's great too. But really what I'm going to cover today is the basics of what's in here, what we've changed, and then take any questions for Chris and myself to record and include in the final document. This is the draft to date that we have. We have the temporary pink tabs on there. We'll tab that out nicely for you for the final piece, deliver after adoption by the board. When we get to that point, we'll provide you hard copy and digital copies so you can reference that by the book itself or by an online document. So I'll take you through our progress. Any questions to start off with? Otherwise, we'll get right into it. First of all, the CORP is the 2022-2026 rewrite. Again, this is a draft document. The draft is going to be either recommended. The goal of tonight is to have the draft recommended for approval by town board, by village board, pardon me, at the next board meeting, and have that adopted. Once adopted, we'll have that document officially finalized and delivered. So basically, what we start off with every CORP is just a review of what does the Village of Alloway want to deliver to your community for parks and recreation. So we always take a good look at the mission statement, include that in the document, and Alloway's mission statement for Park and Recreation and Forestry Department is to provide parks, recreation, outdoor opportunities, and green space stewardship for the enjoyment and well-being of all in a fiscally responsible manner. That's a great statement. It really gives us some guiding direction when we look at capital planning, future improvements, discussions with Chris, discussions with the community, and is a great jumping-off point for when we look at improvements, how to include those. So the parks and open space, what do they do for a community? Really, it's a reflection of your community. We like to look at it that way. It's an opportunity for all to participate in outdoor activity in your community. It's something that everybody can really do and participate in without a lot of their own investment and capital. So parks and recreation facilities really influence the community image and morale. They bring people into your community. They bolster the community perception within those that live here, residents that live here now. They promote health, safety, and welfare in your community. A nicely done park system and a goal to strive for a nicely done park system is going to offer all those things: outdoor opportunities, safe spaces, and healthy lifestyles within your community. Leisure time opportunities, like I said, anybody can engage in outdoor recreation and activity. Parks are a great place to do that at any time during their open hours. They contribute to the social and community involvement. You just mentioned a couple of great programs that you had: Green Isle Park, sports activities, pickleball activities. There's many, many opportunities within your community to contribute to community involvement and reach out for social gatherings as well. They really promote, protect, and celebrate the community history. Alloway, as we all know, has a very rich community history. And the parks really have developed along with the community, so there is some intrinsic historic value within the parks themselves. There's a few, obviously, with Heritage Hill within your community. It's not necessarily a park, but we do mention some of the cultural significance dating back to the 1600s and beyond that are reflected within your community. They contribute to stormwater management, benefit the community economically, so parks provide a great amount of open space that can address stormwater management issues, other environmental issues, creating spaces for more natural native plantings, active spaces, and then benefiting the community economically. A good parks system and a plan for that is really going to present itself well to prospective people that want to move into your community and keep people in your community. So good planning is essential to that. And a CORP is a great piece of of that puzzle to good planning. So what is a CORP? Just very quickly, it's a formal document designed to assist communities in planning and development for parks and open space systems. It establishes goals and objectives, updates your demographic information, inventories the parks and recreation facilities. Really, this is kind of a thumb guide to your parks and recreation in your community. I'll go through the sections next. It allows us to analyze the park and rec facilities, customizes recommendations for future improvements. We really reach out to your community as well. That's another integral piece to this, and part of the process is reaching out to your community. We then integrate recommendations into a capital plan. This is not a capital budget nor a park-specific master plan. It's a document to say, here are some recommendations, here's a graphic representation of what those can be, and then say, and here's about how much it's going to cost. We simplify our cost. I'll get into that in a little more detail, but all the plans and costs do have a lot of backup data. Rebecca Ramirez in my office does a very nice job of estimating each project, and then we provide escalators. I'll get into that later for cost. We look at the potential for funding programs, grant opportunities, and then most importantly, depending on what kind of grants you do apply for, approval is required for a municipality to apply for and receive state and federal grants. So having your CORP up to date and on file is just one piece of the puzzle to have in place for grant funding and opportunities. The sections of the document, we have 7 sections here, and then references in an appendix, actually 8 sections in an appendix. Introduction, community description, parkland inventory, parkland analysis, needs assessment, recommendations, implementation strategies, our reference section, and then the appendices, which is all the community feedback, etc. This really flows into a brief introduction about your community, the description. It tells you what you have. It tells you how those facilities are doing in the analysis. It allows us to look at what different community members, user groups, or other groups that use the parks for activity, organized activity. We get to reach out to boards and committees, Chris himself, and see where we want to go. That's all included in the needs assessment. Make recommendations. Strategize how to implement those recommendations, and then give you some backup data to help support and make those recommendations move forward. So a little more detail about the sections. The introduction really is the plan and purpose. Like I mentioned, the mission statement, goals and objectives are outlined in the introduction. Very importantly, we highlight the past planning accomplishments. So going back to the previous CORP, looking at other projects that were done. Chris just summarized a couple of very nice projects that wrapped up. We should make sure to mention that things are happening, things are getting accomplished within the department. And then a little bit about the planning process. Our community description looks at the history and context, demographics, physical and environmental, very important, especially in Alloway. The physical characteristics of the village itself, the ridge, the river frontage. There's an extensive amount of wetland natural spaces here between the two waterways. So those factors all are looked at as we look at parkland development and parkland accessibility. Jumping ahead a little bit, one of the biggest comments was trails, trails, trails. That was the highest commented piece about the village improvements. People love them, people use them, and people would like to see them continue to be improved. So that's 3 very good things to see. Obviously, there's some physical characteristics that we want to look at and point out here as we move into planning this in the future. Section 3, what we look at. Next is the parkland inventory. We use NRPA standards, National Recreation and Parks Association standards, to help us define what types of parks you have based on their criteria. We do have three different park types here in Alloway, the neighborhood park, the community park, and special use park. Basically, I won't read this verbatim, but basically, and it's very small here, I apologize, what this says, it's a metric that basically says a park is classified as a neighborhood park based on the basic uses of the park. Typically include shelters, picnic areas, tables, grills, drinking fountains, pathways, 2 acres minimum, 5 to 15 acres ideally. And then they also consider accessibility. So in a neighborhood park, walkability, a quarter to a half mile radius is usually used to define that. We have here in Alloway, East Lawn Park, Langlade, Optimist, Sunlight, Sunset Park, PHM, Webster Park as neighborhood parks. Community parks, there are three. We have Green Isle, Kiwanis, and Wheezy Park. This is the 25-acre plus park typically, you know, and always these are guidelines for defining. They don't always fit the mold, but these are half-mile to three-mile radiuses within the living areas and usually are defined as something that is walkable for some but accessed by vehicle to get to the amenities that include, you know, athletic fields, courts, preserving open space. A community park can be a very wide range of things, but they're usually the larger parks that have an amenity that draw people from around the region. We also have special use park. We define both Broadview and Riverview, Optimist and Kayaker's Point as the special use parks because they really serve one main purpose. One is soccer, the other is baseball, and then it's a kayaker's launch. So those are special use parks. So as we look at the inventory, we pull together a section, a page for each park to tell you about, you know, where the park's located. First and foremost, park name, location, and then the amenities within the park. We include a few key photographs here for you to reference as you talk to your village board, as you talk to other groups in the community. You can use this as a one-page reference. Here's what we have. Here's the current condition. And here's its general classification and location within the community. Thank you.
I appreciate you did that. Yeah. I'm still trying to figure out where everything is all the time.
Yep.
This is great.
So that was a great recommendation. Thank you. So parkland inventory, there's a one page on each park. And then we summarize that with a location map and then color code that to show you red neighborhood park, green is the community parks, blue is the special use areas. Now here we want to look at other elements as well. We want to identify your greenways and trails, which are very extensive throughout the village. The greenways on the east side along East River, and then also the trail system along the Fox River. So we do identify that, and we also, in purple, identify some of the schoolyards that are available as well to help folks understand that there are other elements within the community. The inventory continues on. We have a matrix then of each park type, each park, and then the amenities within. I don't expect you to see this, but basically we look at the passive amenities, active amenities, so open space, trails, soccer fields, softball fields, shelters, benches, things like that, and then in the matrix we show which park has what amenity. After we have everything pulled together, we begin to analyze the parks within the analysis section. There's 12 village-owned NRPA classified park sites within the village of Alloway. Again, 6 neighborhood parks, 3 community, and 3 special use parks. We then look at our metrics to analyze this. There are several different metrics. The NRPA acreage standards, regional parkland comparisons, so we take communities around you and look at their defined parkland areas and how you compare to them. Service area evaluations, we take that radius and have a, we'll show you a map later on here, that shows how close the parks are in proximity to your community. Service area with population land use patterns. NRPA recreation standards. We look at that to see if our parks are providing that. And then most importantly, community input. That's the survey, online survey that we did, the in-person park meetings that we held to obtain that from the Parks and Rec Committee. Any comments? And then from the department itself. So we do approach this from many different angles to make sure we get adequate input for the report. Our analysis, just very quickly, good news. In terms of NRPA standard, looking at just total NRPA classified land based on population of per acreage per 1,000 residents, we are in the 7 to 10 acre recommended range. And Alloway provides 11.72 acres per 1,000 for their community. So you guys are in a very good position with the current parks that you have. That does not include the special use parks. So special use parks on top of that, with village-owned parkland in total, is 14.27 acres per 1,000 in the community, which is very, very good. So we make note of that in our document as well, that really the focus is in maintenance and improvement rather than parkland acquisition. So
can you go back real quick
on
that?
Mm-hmm.
That note you have at the bottom talks about how we compare to the regional. And there's a page in the corp that compares all the regional communities and their parklands and how they rank, and that... And that's just averaged out to 15.64 acres. But we are probably in the top third, I would think,
easily.
Out of those.
Yeah, and that's a good point. Just to give you a quick comparison, you know, Schwabenon's at 6.79, De Pere 18.67. I saw Bellevue on here, they're at 4.46. So there's some highs and lows within that average, too. There's areas like City of Kaukauna we have in here at 28.5 acres with their conservance areas and things like that. Suamico has over 40 acres per 1,000. So, but the average, the regional average being 15.64 and being in that top third is a commendable position to be in, for a, especially for a community that's really landlocked, that there's really nowhere to go to expand and to... enjoy some of the expansion that you know, some of these communities that are bordering some of the rural areas that are developing, they can easily expand that. We have a good basis to work with here in Alloway, so it's a very good point. So that's all within the document, that comparison, so you can get into a little more detail in some of those discussions.
Before you switch that, I have one small comment that's a very small thing, but to clear up a little bit. Yeah. You notice that on the table you have 4.27 acres, but in the note you have 4.26 acres. Those should match, right? Or is that something?
14.27, 14.26. I'll make note of that. That's a very good point. Might have been a round up and round down situation there, but I will make note of that and have that changed. We'll get down to another decimal place there.
Good catch.
Very good catch.
Wow,
yeah.
I don't do it around after round.
Oh, we'll always round down. We should leave it up to you.
Unless it's an expense, then we round down.
So graphically, again, we represent this in a use map. We have our access map, service area evaluation map. Again, we look at the neighborhood parks and those service areas. We do stop, NRPA standards do recommend that you stop showing the service area because it's not easily accessible when you have the major arterial roads, highways, things like that. So that's why you see those circles turn into semicircles in some areas. Really helpful, there's one area here that appears to be a little underserved. All the other areas are very well covered. This next map is a service area over a land use map. So you can really see, do we need to provide service area to a lot of these institutional governmental areas, other park uses? We have Heritage Hill there. So, you know, really, when you look at this, if you expand the circle, there's one area. We don't take into account the trail. So there are other uses there, but then you have to look at that and say, well, what do we do about it? Again, we're pretty landlocked and pretty dedicated here as to what those land uses are. So,
but I think it could help us as we think about trails, which are so important that we heard from the public. It helps us understand where we need to be focused. Like, are there some crossings that we could focus on to check the boxes on getting trails, but also providing access across those arterials? And that can help us set the table for those things.
Exactly.
So that's helpful to see. I appreciate that. And
yeah. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. So it's not even final, and you have a couple good ideas already. So, so that really helps you understand what what the land uses are, and again, how to analyze that and look at the other opportunities to create accessibility. The next section we have is the needs assessment. Again, we reached out to the community online. June 22nd to July 18th. We had user group surveys out online as well. June 22nd to July 18th, got great input. Staff surveys to reach out to park and recreation staff. We had an in-person public input meeting on July 26th. Virtual public input meeting July 29th. We had made available email comment sheets and group discussions at these meetings. So we did take many forms of input. And again, Rebecca Ramirez with my office does a fantastic job of breaking that down and communicating that to the reader. We found that Green Isle Park's most used park, followed by the trails. Again, the trails are very overwhelmingly utilized in the survey results. 88% are satisfied or very satisfied with the park system. That's a very good feedback from your community based on other corps that we do. Satisfaction in the 70s is you know, if we get 3/4 satisfied, that's pretty good.
Okay.
88% is very good feedback.
Okay.
Just based on other corps that we've done.
Do you recall how many, like the online survey, how many individuals?
Yeah, we had
participated.
We had 164 participants in the online, and then the user groups on top of that.
Okay.
And then we got 40 additional volunteered comments on top of that. So that's something that we didn't ask, personal input that people wanted to share in addition to that. So overall, based on population and feedback, what we've seen with other communities, this is a very good amount of feedback that we've gotten. I think it's a pretty good range of feedback that we've gotten too. So that was a success, I think, for reaching out to the community. And compared to our last, this had more feedback than our last rendition of the plan. The top three highest rated amenities, again, are trails, restrooms, and playgrounds. So that's good news, too. The most requested additional amenities were trails. And then what we found, we always ask, what do you use outside of the community? What do people here in Alloway go out of town to use? They responded, trails. They continue on outside, and aquatic facilities. So that's something that, as you move forward, you can see where people are leaving, using other community amenities, the neighboring communities, and what that means here.
I have a quick question. I thought the survey was great, and I don't remember now. There were some parts or questions, I thought, about sidewalks. Trails ranked so high. Was there any comparable that was sidewalk-related? Is it just we need to call sidewalks trails, or... Is there any comparable to that? Is it pedestrian ways, and we can call it whatever we want, or
so I don't know that right offhand. I don't have the raw data digested, but I do think just that, and Rebecca would know that if she was here, she'd know that answer. what I believe they're referring to are the network of trails on the East River and Fox River trails that they're very heavily used and enjoyed. It gets people through the entire community without having too much to do with 172. So, but that's a great question that I think as a committee can be explored further. You know, can we tie the sidewalk systems, the pedestrian ways into the trail systems and maybe dig in a little further as part of the results of this document that you can see if there is a correlation there. Yeah.
Something else that maybe could be looked at with regards to that, the Planning Commission is going to be starting looking at updating the comprehensive plan here in the next year or so.
Yeah.
So that might be a location where they can find out more information on that pedestrian and things like that.
Yeah. Is that where bike paths fit in that group?
With regards to,
when
I'm sorry.
When you just said the plan
with
that you talked about.
With the comprehensive plan? Yes. Yeah, that goes kind of hand in hand with roadways and traffic and all that type of stuff. So.
And I would, in our, you know, we don't focus on sidewalks, but that's part of the Public Works Committee. So it's getting discussed.
Yeah.
It's just
and,
not
right.
This bucket necessarily.
And as a village, we need to all work together and, you know, put them all
everybody
together.
Everybody wants sidewalks unless it's in front of their house.
we
discovered that on
Roseland.
Whatever
happened with that?
We just put it on the shelf.
We discover that at every meeting that involves sidewalks. Doesn't matter where it is.
You gotta mow it, or you gotta shovel it.
Well, and the other problem that we have is an uncontrollable one is those main roads. One is state and one is county. We can't. You walk into it like this. I mean, we're wrestling with this improvement on sidewalks that Webster right now with Public Works. Mm-hmm. So, carry on.
No, it's great discussion.
Sidewalks are a huge part of the
network
because I live off Hoffman, and my goodness, the people walking that walk on our roads. And no dog poop. Unlike the comments in this report.
Yeah, we try to edit them
a
little bit.
Which
was
a lot of dog poop comments.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will tell you, as an avid user of those trails, it has improved immensely in the last, especially since we put up those waste stations.
Which was,
in
part of our last core plan.
Yeah.
You know,
and adding garbage
cans like
and things of that nature. It gets better. I mean, you know, some of it is
education.
Well, and some of it you just can't educate. So
right.
There's just some individuals that feel entitled to leave it.
Right. It'll just go away.
Right.
Yeah. So, and that's a great point, Chris. Again, going back to the successes, so we do note that in the document, and having the opportunity, thank you again, to revisit this and see, it helps us build on the next round of recommendations. Good segue. So in our recommendations and implementation strategies, we provide park-specific recommendations based on the community input, Parks Department input, our opinions, and then categorizing those in a park-specific document. We provide mapping, just graphically representing those improvements. Again, it's not a master plan level document. We do recommend that the parks get master plans done for them if there's a lot of improvements to be done. We have a narration of those improvements per park. And then look at the capital improvement schedule. So one of the sections in here, and again, it's not your capital plan. That's the next item on the agenda is to talk about your budget. But this is a guide for that. It helps you look at the immediate need, the short term, and then it helps you look 5 to 10 years and then 10 years and beyond. You know, are we thinking about this? Well, you can look at that and see, okay, we're looking at this, but it's in year 12. You know, maybe we should bring this in to a more present discussion and advance that. So you can move things around in here. This is just a recommendation based on current conditions and prioritization and the feedback that we've been getting. We do have multipliers on the top for you, so when you do get into looking at the budgeted amounts and the time frame, you can apply this multiplier that's taking into consideration for construction inflation. We've got it at 3.5% per year right now. Who knows? But at least we know that it's going to be something that you should apply. Don't just use that number if it's something down the road when you do get into budgeting. And then, again, master planning is going to help you come up with a very detailed budget estimate for your park improvements. Again, I mentioned that several times, high-level planning tool, master plans will help you get that that detail in place. And really the other pieces of the book, the rest include some brief maintenance recommendations, typical funding and grant opportunities. And then, again, in the appendix, there's just a thumb reference to each park. So if you want to, you're at a meeting or you're new to the community or someone comes into the park office and you want to talk about a park, you can just open right up to that park and talk to the picture, which is a lot easier than saying, oh, no, the thing over by the gazebo. No, not that gazebo, the other one. So very handy. We try to make it as user-friendly as possible, as long as it is. We want it to be user-friendly. We tab each section. And then the appendix has all the notes and minutes, development standards, and the comments, the community comments. So you can refer to those to say, no, those were actually real comments, and it's very important that we address those comments. So we like to give you all the data just to back up the document itself. So for data gathering, there's just some of the resources we used. Again, the community input. Our rough draft was sent for review September 1 to the committee here. We've already, like Chris mentioned, we've already made many of those changes and some of the comments that Chris had as well. We would like to have a recommendation to move this forward to for board approval and be adopted at the next available meeting, whenever that would be. And at that point in time, as I mentioned prior, we will provide you with the final document for file. So with that, thank you. Again, really thank you for having us come back to do this again with you and work with your community. It's a great community to work with and a great park system. So it was a pleasure to dive back into it and produce this document. So we'll take any questions, any other comments that you have. And otherwise, again, thanks. Chris, anything to start off with?
Nothing major. Again, it's a great working document that I utilize. And the way that it's set up, it works very well for me and my department on how, you know, how to use. It's not one of those plans that sits on a shelf, right? It's one that I've utilized previous corp, and this one is very similar and easy to reference, easy to utilize, and, you know, and gives you, you know, not maybe not exact numbers for budget purposes, but gives you close numbers that, you know, then you can go and get, you know, those more defined estimates if need be or whatnot. But, yeah, a great document to be able to utilize to say, okay, in the next 5 years, these are the things we want to check off if we can do them, if we've got the time, if we've got the money, those type of things. But it kind of gives us a great idea of where to start and where to, you know, where to go. So.
Great. Any questions? And again, thank you all for your time tonight, but also for taking a look at the book and giving us some great recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, so we look at action item number 7, recommending adoption of the comprehensive outdoor recreation plan. I will accept a motion. Well, does anyone have any discussion? Do you have a place to start? Did you do that already?
How will the board receive the information? I mean, we have the email that you sent out, and we got a chance to look at the detail.
Correct.
The report.
Yeah.
How will Robin's cohorts Did that have to be insured?
Because of the size of the document and the cost to print them, I will send them via electronically again, like that, with all any, you know, last reiterations or anything like that.
Yep.
We will send that to the village board prior to the meeting so that they can review that and if they have any questions and whatnot. John will be in attendance at that meeting, giving a presentation to the whole village board. And then, you know, if they have any questions, comments, or whatnot at that time. So
I would maybe, Rob, you probably know better than I do, but I would hit some of the highlight recommendations because I think you got some good stuff in there.
Yeah.
You know, here's the top five or top three things that
sure. We
should be looking at in the future. Because I think that gives, if people read the notes or minutes from the board meetings, then maybe they'll also see some of that information as well. Because I'm sure that the general population is going to read the report. And probably not if you have the board meeting or if it's approved, but some people might read the minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, touching on those highlights will be the key because you want to keep it simple, you know. But I personally think the board is going to receive this in a very positive way. Yeah, I mean, got a unique board in the sense that everybody's kind of got their own niche, you know. I mean, there's going to be one person that's going to look at the finances a little bit closer and say, you know, hey, but that person also understands that this is just a working document that is used as a guideline, not a policy. You know, and that's one of the things that gets confused a lot is it's a guideline. It's not, you can't use it to say, this is what you said on this date. You can say that, but it's a guideline.
Mm-hmm.
And guidelines are made to be changed and reviewed as opposed to a policy. That is something is black and white.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this board will proceed well.
Yeah. Well, that's a good good thought, though.
Yeah,
a couple of those highlights.
Yeah, thank you.
I think you'll kind of zoom in on maybe three
of the big ones.
Three of those areas.
Yep.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Flooding the trail, right?
Yeah.
That was a big one.
Yeah. And that's probably, there's a prime example, you know, of a guideline on a working document. I mean, those trails, especially with the flooding, you know, is always an issue. Even though we've had low water this year, there's been a few times in a few areas that they haven't been covered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so, and if they're used that much, it's something that has to be addressed and maybe something needs to be changed.
Right.
Yeah.
Cats off leash. That seems to be a comment made.
Did you say cats off leash?
Pets.
Oh, pets. I thought you said cats.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
There's
off leash, and I don't know, is that like an enforcement thing more? You know, but I thought all the feedback was just great and awesome, and I think for me personally kind of opened my eyes up thinking about this whole East Lawn project and how there were a lot of people that commented on that park and how bad it's looking and when are you going to do something? The positives of the pickleball court, you know, now we're running into the, it's too busy now, what do we do?
Yeah.
So it's really kind of fun to see, like, you know, probably for you, Chris, all the work that you put into all of this stuff, and then see people like, hey, I really appreciate this. This is really cool, and you know, it helps us to try to be a voice for those people that did take the time to make comments. That we listen to that, and, you know, use it so they feel heard and stuff like that. And, hopefully the board understands. I will say that some of those prices, though, are really surprised. I'm like, holy cow, these are expensive things.
It's amazing what things cost, especially in the last year.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know, everything went up.
But it was a lot of work. Good job. I think it was really really easy to understand. And Chris, you should keep track of all the funds you get because of the court, too, because it's kind of helps the board feel good too.
You sure.
You invest this much money into doing the plan, and we get this much money in return.
Sure.
I thought it was interesting, significant difference between when I compare us, I compare Dash, Bob, and DePere, okay? And we're significantly better than what they are in terms of park space that we have. I think that's something to be really proud of. That ought to get highlighted a little bit more than we're above average in the region or whatever.
Yeah.
I think I reviewed the report like it was a final, and so I'll apologize for all the comments I made, because I'm sure now that was a working document. One thing, if we don't have it in the final, I wonder if a little intro to the budgeting section that says, to your point, you know, this is meant to help when planning for the CIP. It's not meant to be a line item, cut, paste. The context is really important. If you might already have that in there because you've made progress since then. But as our board changes over time, and like you said, as folks may or may not pick up the document and understand the point of it, you should just dip in a little bit at a time, and that little kind of how to use this, it's not meant to be the full on, can help quell any sort of unrealistic expectations.
Sure. Yeah.
That brings up another issue, really separate from the court, but in line with that, which is how do we get back to 150 or 200 people that inputted to say, here's what your input produced. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a, you know, something in the Alloway magazine or something we can publicize, because I like that participation number, and I like to see that grow, because that's how we do the right thing, I guess. Something that would probably get that out to folks.
Definitely, we can do that, you know, via... Once it's adopted and everything like that, we can, obviously we put that plan on our website, but we can send it out via social media, our e-newsletter, blast, you know, all those different forms to let people know, say, here's what the final document is, thank you for all your input, and this is what it produced.
Here's your voice.
Yes.
Yep. That's a great idea.
Good idea.
Any other... questions or comments? If not, I'll accept a motion to recommend adoption of the plan.
So moved.
Is there a second? Third. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. We have approved.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you for all your work.
Yeah. With those little tweaks.
Yes. Yep.
You don't have to read it.
No.
Yep.
Thank
you.
We
all.
Got it.
Yep. Great committee to present you to. So thank you very much for your discussion.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank You're you. Welcome to leave, or you can stay if you want. I know you got a long drive home, so.
I'm all right. Yeah, I'll probably pack up quietly and let you continue. Thank you,
Chris. Great. No, thank you.
All right. The next item is discussion and action on the fiscal year 2022 capital improvement projects from previous meeting.
I sent the memo out with the information, but I printed some off for you.
I got one.
You got yours?
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, I was actually at work today, so I can't print it here.
So here's a memo to kind of cover all of the things we have discussed in the last few meetings. With regards to capital improvements and recommendation for the 2022 budget, as well as a few updates, and then, you know, it was requested a little bit more in-depth line item type of information with that. The a couple of things that we had talked about last time that I got some more clarification on. One was engineering. For 2023 projects, after talking with the finance department, we don't have to budget for that in 2022. That can wait until the 2023 budget and be part of the bonding process. So that I took off of there for that time. It'll be included within the projects that would be bonded for in 2023. So I had moved those around a little bit. With the trail improvements and alternate routing and that, I provided some information on where some of that costs could look or be. $10,000, it was recommended within the Comprehensive Outdoor Rec Plan. One thing to look at would be to look at an engineering engineering study, you know, or engineering report to make sure we know what needs to be done and not just throw money at things that we're not really clear up on. So, you know, is that a route that we would want to budget for and go that route?
For the trail,
You know, with the flooding and that. The East Lawn Park sign, we talked about that. Green Isle Park site lighting, I spelled that out a little bit more in the line item information. The entire project, scope of the project, you know, looking at that number, and this is for 38 lights along the perimeter of the roadway and the parking lots, and then broke that up into a seven-year project. And then how much approximately that would be per year to do 5 to 6 lights per year and that. The site furnishings is a cost for replacement for new like picnic tables and benches. Replacing those old ones with what we've been doing over the past years with those low to no maintenance type of equipment. The outdoor fitness equipment, and I know this was a question at our last meeting, left it in there. It's a discussion item if you so wish. It did come up in the corp, some comments on that. There are some options with that if we wish to proceed. The in the line items that I have in here, I put an alternate, the initial cost of $11,000 for the silver package, or an alternate had a few less pieces of equipment with that, could bring that cost down some. And obviously, all of these items need approval prior to purchasing or installing. And that. And then, like I said, the trail improvements. Initially, we had $8,000 in there. I put it at $10,000 to look at doing more of the study initially to try to get a better grasp on what we need to do with that. So, with that, any questions, comments, any discussion that we would like to?
We brought up county at one point in time having engineering resources. Did we explore that? Was that part of that big group that was getting together around?
It was. And it was more of the individual communities' engineering departments, and there was no collaboration with that. I did speak with City of Green Bay on if they've progressed with anything within their on their trails with regards to the flooding or any, and they have not. They are working on a new trail extension, new project that they are looking at implementing some flood, for lack of a better term, some ways to prevent flooding from impacting the trail. On that new installation, they're at this point in time not doing anything with existing.
I just wonder about priority, and I'm really wondering. I'm not
sure.
Trying to make a point here, but
sure. Yeah.
It's like, and you should know I'm an anti-engineer because I work with him for so long. If we took $10,000 and put it towards doing detours. One problem is under the bridge, right?
Mm-hmm.
That I only have a solution for. We'd have to go up and do something with that. But
which bridge? Hoffman or the 172? Okay. With that, in 2023, I believe it is, We will be doing the village will be doing a Safe Routes to School sidewalk project down East River Drive from Hoffman Road all the way down to the DePere line. So that whole section of roadway that currently does not have sidewalk will have sidewalk. So that's a possible rerouting way to get people around if that area is flooded.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about if you put that $10,000 into detours, sure, and the areas that we know about right now,
yeah,
that cause us not to be, sure, able to use the trail,
sure,
it would be a quick and cleaner way.
Later, quicker, cheaper.
Way to spend the dollars and get a bigger bang for the buck.
Sure.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Sure.
We know where the problems are. I don't know why we have to spend $10,000 for someone to tell us where they are. We know where they are.
Mm-hmm.
You've walked it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how to fix them, though. That's my problem.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, some of it, I think, is just common sense, you know, in terms of, I mean, I'll walk it with you and tell you what I would do. You know, I mean, I'm not an engineer either,
sure,
but, man, I'm telling you.
There are street guys, those guys know how to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have opinions too. Yeah. Rob,
and we have the equipment. Sure. So
I think that's a better.
Sure, and you're exactly right. No, nothing says that money allocated there has to go towards doing a plan.
Okay.
Right, that money allocated could be used towards doing projects, and that, right.
Okay.
And you could add that $11,000 for outdoor equipment.
I think one thing to consider, though, is if you do a fix, you want to make sure that you're not just fixing the current problem, but also thinking about how it's going to progress.
Right. You want to fix it. You don't want to Band-Aid it.
Exactly.
So. Mm-hmm.
Has Bellevue been looking at any sort? They're not interested?
Not really. I think their biggest concern area are the boardwalks.
Yeah.
So that's what they're working on. Yeah.
That's actually one item. In my recent experience, that number is almost double.
The number I've got in here is a little less.
The boardwalk
number,
I usually use $300 for boardwalks.
Yeah.
So I know, again, context and scale of project, there's so many things that matter.
Yeah.
But I would caution that one for me. It's like, whoa, that gave me pause.
That would also be one of
the
ones I would stand in the way of boardwalks, because I think, they're not safe,
mm-hmm,
especially if you're an old guy like me and don't have real great footing, or if you ride your bike and don't have any shock absorbers on it. Not a good deal.
Right. But
you spend that kind of money on it.
Yeah, you're right, because it doesn't take long and that balloons.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to have very long distance.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you're talking $100,000.
And the maintenance has got to be incredible.
Yep. It's an option, not always the best option. Sometimes it's the only option, you know, depending on the situation. But yeah. Okay.
And then two other notes. I just have questions on,
sure,
minor things. It doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. But the site furnishings, picnic tables, I presume those are like going on existing pads or surfaces, and that we're thinking about accessibility.
We are. Yep. Yes. Because we, depending on the need and the location, we do purchase also ADA compliant picnic tables. We've done that in the past, and yes.
And then on the outdoor fitness equipment, the surfacing, what is that? Do we have an idea of what that material would be?
I was looking at concrete surfacing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is the concrete item below like footings?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right. That was all I had. Questions? Any other discussion?
The East Lawn sign, I'm just thinking, with all the comments we got about the, people kind of upset with the situation at East Lawn, is it almost a slap in the face to just give them only a sign and
I was thinking the same thing, Angela.
You know, they give all this feedback about so much that they want fixed there, and then the first time they see any work, it's just, hey, here's the sign, this is your part.
Right.
I don't really have a solution, and I know that it's slated to be the next sign, but
How long is the discussion on pickleball courts going there at East Lawn? Do we ever have that discussion?
Initially, we did when we initially were talking about where to go with pickleball courts, and we were looking at, you know, is that a location to put brand new ones in, and, you know, we came up with costs and stuff like that. And the most cost-effective location was, you know, Kiwanis Park.
Right.
The Comprehensive Outdoor Rec Plant, the new one, talks about, you know, pickleball courts up there at East Lawn again. You know, so is that, you know, something to look at then again at that location?
I remember when Shine went on that because that tennis court deteriorated so badly that
it's not
put $120,000 or something.
It was in pretty rough shape. The reason East Lawn sign was slated is both it was in our plan and that it was close to the time period. It also was damaged and is broken right now. So we do have another. The other one coming up next year, or not next year, in 2023, in the plan, is at Broadview Soccer Complex on the west entrance. That one is actually broke in one of the storms and isn't currently there either. So, you know, those two locations, because of the condition of the current signs, you know, I would recommend that in the next couple of years, those would be the ones that would be replaced.
Yeah, I don't really have any suggestions or solutions of looking at the rest of the plan. Anything for East Lawn Park is so much more expensive. And
right.
Not like we could just shift something around that's similarly priced.
Right.
We just have to hope that maybe Village Board recognizes that too. You know, if they read the plan to kind of see what
photos though.
You know, and we've always been fluid with some of the things in our plan and move them around if need be.
We don't get much money every year for things. What is it, like $15,000?
Well, and we're working on trying to come up with better solutions for that too. So.
Yeah, but it's kind of difficult to target the one thing. You know, like I'd like to find one thing that we could do to East Lawn Park that would be reasonably priced. That we could show that, hey, we heard your input. We really want to do something with this. You know,
well,
along with the sign. Now, I don't think signs are bad things. I think, in the absence of anything else, that could be a slap in the face.
And sometimes just removing the eyesore, which happens to be all that busted up concrete on the tennis courts. You remove that, turn it green, and then work on a plan moving forward. You know, it's like
for interim step. You're going to spend the money sometime anyway. So
yeah, so just, you know, you're not ever going to reuse that.
Right.
You know, so,
right.
But you could make it look nicer by removing it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true.
Any additional discussion? Is there a motion to take action on this item?
Is this a recommendation?
Recommendation for, yes, for during our budget process.
I'll move that this be forwarded off to the board.
Is there a second?
Sure.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Last item. Any future agenda items? All right. I'll accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Question mark? Yeah, thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? We are adjourned.
Meeting adjourned at 6:35 p.m.